Good morning. Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. It's good to see everyone here this morning, and I'm excited to worship with you all today.
I invite you now to read with me our call to worship from Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good. Give thanks to the one who made the great lights.
God's faithful love lasts forever.
The sun to rule the day.
God's faithful love lasts forever.
The moon and the stars to rule the night.
God's faithful love lasts forever.
God remembered us when we were humiliated. God rescued us from our enemies.
God's faithful love lasts forever.
God is the one who provides food for all living things.
God's faithful love lasts forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
God's faithful love lasts forever.
Now I invite you to sing with me in our book of hymns, Hymn number 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
Let us pray. As sisters and brothers in God's holy church, we pray.
Lord,
where the light of your love is shining, in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Amen. Reading from the word that illumines our journey, from Isaiah in chapter 2, in verses 2 through 5. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of the mountains. It will be lifted above the hills. People will stream to it. Many nations will go and say, "Come, let us go up to the Lord's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God, so that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in God's paths." Instruction will come from Zion, the Lord's word from Jerusalem. God will judge between the nations and settle disputes of mighty nations. Then they will beat their swords into iron plows and their spears into pruning tools. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn how to make war. Come, house of Jacob, let's walk in the Lord's light.
Today's gospel reading comes to us today from John 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world did not recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be God.
Please bow your heads so we can pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for this fellowship, for this seminary building, and thank you for the light that you have shined in our lives. Thank you for the light that you have brought amidst the darkness. Lord, be with us as we receive your word this morning, and be with me and empty me as a vessel for your word. Amen. Please be seated. So Jesus Christ is light, and he's shining in the darkness. And this darkness is old, like ancient old. And you might be asking yourself, just how old is this darkness? The darkness is so old, the very first thing God ever said at creation itself was, "Let there be light." Darkness has been present before time itself. Our gospel reading this morning is all about Jesus Christ being the light amidst a world of darkness. But what is the darkness? To put it simply, it's the stuff that is not of God, stuff that isn't holy, and the place where sin resides. God created people in his image in Genesis 1:26, and he says, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us, so that they can take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." But then something happened. Sin happened. In Genesis 3:6, the people there turned away from God, God's teaching, in Genesis 2:17. And this is how the story goes. God sat the first belly button free person down and said, "Today's Torah lesson is the only fruit that you should not eat." Then a while later, the first two people were chatting up with the slickest of all the animals, the snake. And the snake said, "Come on, man, eat the fruit. What is the worst that could happen from eating fruit? I mean, come on, it's just fruit after all." The first two people ate the fruit. And presto changeo, we have sin with a capital S. The capital S sin is the darkness, and it is very real among us. The darkness is present from Genesis through Revelation and still combats the light today. Yet, even as we proclaim the good news of Christ, darkness remains present all around us. There are all sorts of darkness, all sorts of things that are not of God, are not holy, and all sorts of things that are sin. Open your favorite news app or newspaper. Scroll through your Facebook or Twitter or Foursquare or Instagram or whatever else you're involved in, and you will read about the darkness or visualize the darkness in our midst. Things such as Ebola, militarized police, the ongoing conflict in Gaza, seemingly endless war, sexual assaults on college campuses and elsewhere, family violence throughout the world and in our neighborhoods. All of this darkness can seem very overwhelming. How can we gather in this chapel and not be paralyzed, not be enraged, not be filled with lament? This darkness is dark, the darkest dark there is. While we name the darkness, we also struggle not to be defined by it. We can hear the lies of the darkness as it seeks to name us something other than God's children of the light. We can forget all that God is doing, and we can lose sight of where that light is pointing. We can forget the wisdom of St. Francis, who says, "All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle." We can forget God is still in control. But what does it mean to encounter the darkness as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ as light? What good is a single candle amidst so much darkness? Jesus Christ himself was the light against darkness and still is, and that means everything. Jesus is light shining amidst darkness, and this is wonderful, great news. The Bible reminds us this morning in our gospel reading that light is real. The light is full of truth, and the light constantly preserves. God's light has shined upon creation since God began creating. And while God's story with creation has some ups and downs, it's constantly related to darkness. And the light always preserves, every single time. It was rough in the beginning with Cain, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. But the prophet Isaiah reminds us that after these dark moments, God made a people who could be a light to the world, the descendants of Abraham and Sarah. At the right and perfect time in God's story and salvation, Jesus Christ became flesh and made his home among us. From that moment of light, from that flashpoint in time, we had the opportunity to experience the reality that Jesus' light shine amidst the darkness in the world. The light allows us to see the world around us, a world full of beauty, love, and glorious nature. John 1:5 reminds us that the darkness seeks to overtake the light, but it does not. It cannot overcome the light. The darkness will never, ever win out. Now, as we experience the light that is Jesus, we don't forget that the darkness still exists. We surely don't ignore the darkness, but instead the darkness becomes contextualized, named, and differentiated from the light. Jesus Christ is light amidst darkness, and this is glorious news. Scripture reminds us that the light of Christ will prevail against the darkness in the fullness of time. This light is not a cute Bible story. This light is real and is actively present as we see the darkness. Jesus is with us. And in fact, Jesus names that we as his disciples are also a light to the world. We can join those who focus on the darkness. But instead, Jesus shows us how to focus on the light that constantly prevails against the darkness. Join Jesus in this great and beautiful reality of God's holiness amidst the darkness that is sin. See how glorious the good news truly is. Today, we are still experiencing the beautiful line where the light meets the darkness. As children of the light, we do not deny that the existence of the darkness, but instead, we do not allow the darkness to define us. If you don't believe me, go to rethinkchurch.org and read the stories of what the light is doing today in the midst of darkness. Or look to local congregations who are being light in the world. Here in Harrisonburg, the light is meeting the darkness and meals being shared, and clothing needs being addressed, and shelter being shared with those who show us what hunger, homelessness, nakedness all look like. Or look among ourselves. We all have stories to share of the light of Christ overcoming the darkness in our own lives. I know for myself, as a Christian and a United Methodist, it is not the experience I had growing up in an abusive home that defines me, but it is the light of Christ. The light that shined through me when I was 21 and looking for a purpose in my life. It isn't darkness that defines me, but it was my United Methodist ministry at Liberty that showed me I can follow Jesus even in the midst of differing views and opinions. And he welcomes my questions, calms my fears, and comforts me in times of doubt. Darkness doesn't define me. But this time right now at Eastern Mennonite Seminary is defining me for God's mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our world. There is a lot of light to show in the darkness, but take joy in the light that is ever present among us and constantly overcoming that darkness. The light of Christ has the power to change lives, and we can participate in showing this light to the world. Now more than ever, we need to come together to take the light to those who need it as Christ leads the way. These words from Ephesians 5 are my charge to you this morning. Paul writes, "You were once of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of the light." Light produces fruit that consists of every sort of goodness, justice, and truth. May the flame of Christ that has engulfed our souls shine within ourselves and among others in the face of the world's darkness. Can we please pray? Lord, thank you for reminding us of our call. Thank you for reminding us that though we gather here in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our lives, and in the midst of the struggles in the world around us, that the darkness does not win. We've read the last verse of the Bible. We know that the light will not be extinguished, and that the light can be shared among us and into other communities. Lord, help us to be brave stewards, to combat the darkness, to stand firm for you in areas that need you the most. Amen. Please turn to page 880 as we recite the Nicene Creed in response. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He incarnate with the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us continue in our worship with song 585, This Little Light of Mine, 585.
You may be seated. As we continue in our response to the word this morning, I will enter us into a time of prayer and then move into a time of silence so that you can lift up your own prayers, whether those be places where the light is meeting the darkness, or where you just want to shout out to God where you're seeing that light in your own life. I invite you to pray with me. God, you are our God. You have made us and you have given us a mission to be a light for the world. As a light, we come to you this day, knowing that there is still darkness, knowing that there is still hurting, knowing that we still have ministry to do, even as we lift your name in glory. God, as we look forward to the fullness of your kingdom, and we name for ourselves the gifts and the graces that you have given us, help us to continue to point out those gifts and graces to those around us. Help us to point to where the light is meeting that darkness. Give us the courage to follow Jesus wherever that goes. Strengthen us now in the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Amen. Please join me on page 569 for our sending hymn, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations." Please stand.
Story of
Please bow for the benediction. May we go forth from this place as stewards of the light in a world full of turmoil, darkness, and uncertainty. May we go forth shining the light of Christ into the hearts of man, into the areas that need to hear his holy word. Amen.